Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. And joining me today, Dr. Alice Benton. Really glad that you're here,
hello.
Alice. Milan Jurkovic is here.
Hey, Steve. Hi, Alice. It's great to be with both of you.
Milan.
Mm-hmm. And we're glad that all of you that are on are on. We're going to go right to your phone calls after I just mention that I have a tip sheet on 9 tips for staying sober during the holiday season. They're really good, and if you want them, you just all you have to do is call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I guess you could text newlife.com. But we'd love to have those for you.
I know what they are.
What are they?
Don't drink.
There you are.
You know, 9 times, you know. You'll stay sober.
You know,
they might be a little more helpful than that.
On the 28th,
I hope so.
Yeah. On the 28th of November, I will have gone 5,000 days without touching alcohol. It's kind of a cool little number there. And you could get your 5,000 days in if you start today. You can call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, ask for a Life Recovery Bible. There's an app, the Life Recovery app, also that you could look into. But right now, I'm going to go to the phones. And I'm going to talk to, right off the bat here, Austin. And Austin is calling us. I don't know where he's calling us from, but he's calling us. Austin's on the road, I believe. Hi, Austin. How are you today?
Hello, guys. I'm doing okay. How are you?
Good. There is a lot of background noise, so maybe you could ask us more briefly, and we could tell you what we think about that.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah, I am driving. I'm actually in Maryland. So I just listened to a caller, and I caught the tail end of her conversation in which she stated she was in an abusive marriage. I don't know how long she was married. I didn't catch that. And I have to admit that I've been married for 24 years, and in those 20 years, I would say probably 8 years in, I did become somewhat abusive towards my wife, in the sense that when we dealt with each other, if I didn't feel she was loving me in the proper way, and we had a few kids at that time, a couple of very small kids, I would say things like, you know, you don't love me, I'm going to leave. That shows me you don't love me because you're not honoring me, you don't respect me, et cetera, et cetera. Very harsh, very hurtful things about 15 years ago. And she's never been able to let those down, let those go. Right now, we are separated. Our church suggested that we do a redemptive separation for 2 months. And within that 2 months, my wife has taken it upon herself to take all of my things, put them in the basement, and she's no longer allowing me to come in my home anymore.
Okay. So what the point of what you're saying is. That's what we want to know.
Okay. So, I just wanted to give you some context of where we are. And so I've been going to counseling. I've been willing to change. While I was in the house, she did see me change, but she feels that it's only because I want to get what I want because I've been a controlling, manipulative, abusive
right.
person.
Okay.
And at this point, she's doing a very hard separation where it wasn't a separation where she said, hey, hold on 1 second. Where she said, hey.
Tell you what, why don't you just hold that, because you hear the music. I've got to go to a break. And as I go to this break, think about what is that main thing that you're wanting to communicate to, and then we'll respond to that. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-229-3000. If you need some help and you're a man, well, every man's battle now. The next one is January the 6th in Washington, D.C. What a great thing to be there.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back and we're talking with Austin. Separated, wife's packed up his stuff. It's really hard. Austin, so what is it that you're wanting us to know about your situation?
My wife wants to do a divorce. And she's not willing to look at any other options. She doesn't believe my changes have been genuine. She feels it's only because I want her back. We're both Christians. We're both believers. And, you know, I want to honor the Bible. And at this point, she doesn't like God anymore. She doesn't trust him. She feels that her life has been ruined by me. And my question is, about how long should I wait before I contact her with the willingness to want to go back home and try to work on this marriage as we really should? And okay, what should I do to help her? Or should I have, our church is intervening, they're going to be working with both of us, but what should I do and what can I do to make her understand that God is always good? God is,
well, okay,
not a problem.
Quick question. Quick question. She doesn't seem to care about any of that stuff. You said she's gone the other way. Were you ever unfaithful to her?
Never. Never.
Okay. All right. So I'll just start with Mylon here and see what he is thinking might be the best course with the most potential for you guys staying together and having a happy marriage.
So when you were hurt and your wife did not feel as though your wife was giving you the love and attention you wanted, had she begun to disconnect from you at that point? Do you feel like she was disconnecting? Now, you got angry, you said that, and you were hurtful.
But
had she started a disconnection from you?
When I look back on it, I believe so, but she didn't really show it. But in hindsight, I believe she did. She actually felt the intimacy was forced because she felt at times that she was only doing it because she didn't want me to leave. She wasn't doing it for the love in her heart. But she still was fairly productive, fairly happy, but she didn't communicate as often as I probably would have needed.
Or desired.
We have seven kids. Yeah, or desired.
You have how many kids?
Seven. And
what's the age of the youngest?
20.
Five. Okay. Between 5 and 20. Are they homeschooled?
Yeah.
Okay.
They were, but she put them in public school this year because she wanted to get her own finances. She wanted to separate from me. Mm. She put them in public school so she could take in a baby to babysit, make her own money, and basically do things that she wanted to do now in her life. And so, yeah.
All right. Well, a couple of things. One, I'm concerned about the church. Most churches don't know how to help people from an emotional, relational, mental health perspective. They're not as trained. And so to go to a marriage counselor who would be able to look at history and understand what's really going on here in this marital dynamic, what's going on with you, what's going on with her, and what's been your history, and to really look at the historical attraction and then the decline over the years with the children and what has happened in your marriage. I would say I would reverse your request, how you presented it a little while ago. I want to come home and work on the marriage. I would reverse that. I really want to work on our marriage. And when the time is right to come home, to then consider the possibility of coming home.
Okay.
Your wife is, she is really going to a very strong extreme right now. Alice, what are your thoughts about the extreme that she's going to?
Well, yeah, she won't even like talk to me. She only will accept text messages.
Yeah,
she won't even be in the same house as me. Yeah,
wow.
It's weird.
Austin, I suspect that you experienced probably some very significant abuse perpetrated against you or someone in your family of origin when you were younger, that it was much worse than what has happened in your current nuclear family. Is that the case? Was one of your parents significantly abusive?
Yeah, I believe so. My dad.
And the reason,
you know, he told me that I wasn't mm-hmm. going to be anything, and he would use profanity and say certain things.
Sure.
But I knew to never do that to my kids. He did it to my mom, but she was so strong.
Right. But what we're trying to get here is what
we're
trying to help you have the best chance of doing the right thing to put the marriage back together and enjoy a great marriage for your sake, God's sake, her sake, and the kids. So, Alice, what's his best chance of putting this thing back together? What's the approach?
Well, Austin, my guess is that you minimize how your harshness came across to your family and how much it frightened your wife. You said, I was somewhat abusive. Then you did give us specific examples, which I respect your humility, but I think that you minimize the effect of your words and of your verbal or emotional abuse. So it seems extreme to you that your wife is taking all these actions. It sounds extreme to us as well, but the abuse was worse than you believe it to be. She certainly doesn't feel safe with you. And or she's also reacting to something else historical, mm-hmm. that perhaps she witnessed, experienced abuse, and her past is overshadowing her decisions in the present. And you might be being punished for what someone else did in her life in addition to what you did. So I agree with not trying to push your way back home, but rather accepting, I haven't been safe for you. And I see that. I see how bad it's been for you. So I'm willing to live apart. And I want you to come to her with your treatment plan, Austin, of how much counseling you're going to. I'd recommend adding a group per day, a men's group per day, that every single day you're doing something to work on your character. You have to go what will feel like overboard in your personal character growth work to have the hope that it starts to look and actually be safe for her and for your family.
All right. And here's the thing. I'll give you a gift. You can say to her, you talk to some people, and they believe that our marriage could not just be saved, but could be amazing, and our children would be so grateful for us. And I'm going to ask you one thing. Before we divorce, let's be able to say to our children, we did everything we could to save our marriage. And I've been given a scholarship for us to go to intimacy in marriage. All we have to do is show up, and they'll cover the expense for us. Because this is one of those cases, Austin, where I think if you will go, everything will be different. If she will go, everything will be different. But she doesn't. She's already got one foot out the door, you could say. So you have to say, if you'll do this one thing, I'll never ask anything of you, but let's be able together to say to our children, we did everything possible we could do. And I have a 100% success rate on challenging people, and if they show up, the divorce does not happen. So you hang on, we'll get the information that you can give to her, because I want this marriage to stay together. I want to make one other point. Carl Sagan is an atheist, and if you tried to convince me of something out of a book he wrote, I would say, well, that doesn't matter. I don't believe what he believes. So trying to convince somebody that's rejected God and Scripture in the Bible by using God and Scripture in the Bible can be more off-putting than just trying to appeal to them practically in the first baby step, and hopefully that would lead them back to seeing God's word as credible and the ultimate source of truth. Just a side note there. All right. Steve, Alice, you have a comment.
I do have to bring up one other point about this case, because there are parents who, in a harmful way, keep children from a parent that is not a harm to the children themselves.
Right.
And so if that happens to be the case here, then I would actually recommend that Austin seek some legal consultation about this, because the children shouldn't be punished and not allowed to see their father if he is a safe man to be around.
I agree. All right, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help right now, I'm going to talk to Jan. She is calling us from Los Angeles, California. Hi, Jan. How are you today?
Hi, Jan. Hi, Steve.
Hi. How's it going?
Fine. Well, it's going complicated. I am in my 80s, 88. My kids are in their 40s and 60s, and we're clashing, and I'm getting triggered all the time. Because I just want to accept them where they are, but I don't feel they're accepting where I am.
What are they rejecting about you?
They think I need psychiatric help, which I've gotten for 2 years now, and participate in aging research, so they don't want me driving. They want, think I should live differently. So forgetting all of that, I just need to know how to not be triggered.
Well, they obviously love you, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now, have you been hanging out at bars at night or anything like that at 88? Because I doubt that's the problem, right?
I really think I need to get a boyfriend and start doing that so they'll get the focus off of me.
There you go. Well, here's the thing. It's hard to give you accurate advice or guidance, because they may see some legitimate things. We all have blind spots. So they may see some legitimate things that you don't see. And
I agree.
And so I want to hear from Mylon and Alice, of course, but my assessment of this would be there needs to be some kind of objective truth here that you could fall back on, whether it is the opinion of a qualified psychiatrist or the result of some testing. But both you and them, it would be great if everybody together knew what they were dealing with. Like if they're saying severe psychiatric stuff, okay, well, have the psychiatrist give you some kind of test that would show you it's true or show them that it isn't. That's my two cents here. Hey, Alice, what are you thinking?
May I interrupt?
Her? Sure, Jan.
May I interrupt? Because
yeah.
I have all of that, and they simply don't believe it.
Okay. All right.
Jan, what are their two worst fears of what you will do or what will happen to you?
I think it is having an accident driving. That's what I think.
And if you put one more top fear out there, what else would it be?
I guess I would kill somebody.
And has there been a major accident in the family before, whether you were involved or another close family member was?
No, ma'am, and I participate in aging or cessation of driving for 80, 90, 100-year-olds.
And the psychiatric...
So I'm kind of going by what?
The psychiatric help they wanted you to receive, was it all about safety and driving, or were there other mental health concerns they thought were occurring?
That's a good question. I don't know. For sure.
So there may need to be a couple of conversations to bring this more into the open, where my hope would be that you would gently, with curiosity, ask your children, tell me about your worst fears of what's going to happen to me, and then tell me the story about where that fear may have come from. And then let's take those fears together in with my therapist or with my psychiatrist so we can have a family session to discuss it together to find out, are they founded fears or unfounded fears? And do all of us need to be perhaps doing something differently about protecting my safety or accepting my current level of safety?
Yeah,
I like that, because we do have a crisis in the family.
Oh.
That is now I'm going to cry.
Okay, well, I am so sorry. Why don't you hold on there, and we're going to hear about this crisis right when we come back. Jan, I'm glad you called, and really hope we can help you here. You're listening to New Life Live, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back right after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free, 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back, and we're talking here with Jan, and Alice, you're going to follow up here. Jan is about to tell us about a crisis that they have in their family.
Jan, we heard your tears. Please do tell us what's going on.
Yeah, I thank you guys. God is so good. He uses you guys to get to the point so quickly. And we are in grieving mode, I think, and we're just not recognizing it because of a daughter that, and it would be the second daughter that has been, first daughter died, six people died in a very short time, and of different things, all ages, and that's what, it's like the elephant in the room all the time we don't talk about. We talk about me driving or me not driving, and I'm an advocate for 80, 90, 100-year-olds to do what we need to do to be safe and make everybody else around us safe and so on. So I've been declared competent and capable and all of that.
So, Jan, their grief and their worry is probably coming across controlling, and it's as if they want to rob you of your independence before time. And so I would, again, recommend bringing that into the family session, and I want to normalize it. Experiencing one death, let alone six deaths, it puts family members on hyper alert, so fearful of who will be the next, who will we lose? And I'm sure you can have compassion for your children that an 88-year-old driving becomes more and more uncommon, and there's a higher likelihood of accidents, even though you're doing great. But their fear does make sense given the family context.
Thanks, I agree. All right.
Well, I'm really glad you called, and I hope something we've said has been helpful. I'm going to send you this one-year Bible for women that my wife did the commentary on. I hope that you will enjoy that, and you can get those, anybody else, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I'm also going to send her a copy of Doing Life with Your Adult Children by Jim Burns. Really tough. And she seems like such a bright and caring and loving person, very, very aware, to say the least, and I'm really glad that she called. Let's go to, how about we go to Stephanie from Waco, Texas, KBBW. Hello, Stephanie. How are you today?
Hi, how are you? I'm good.
Great. How could we help you?
Well, I said I was going to be fast. You know how that is. Anyway, yeah. I don't even really know where to start. I don't have a good marriage. We jumped in. We've been married almost 9 years. Our beliefs are not the same. Our level of belief. We are definitely unequally yoked. And quite honestly, I think if either of us could go back, neither of us would do it again. And that wasn't even where I was going when I called, but as I listened, that's where it went. Yeah.
So what is it that we could help you with? Just think of something we could address specifically to help you.
Well, he seemed, and I don't want to make it sound like it's all him and I have no issues, because Lord knows that's not true. He's very pessimistic. He's very negative. Nothing's ever his fault, whether it be me or the mechanic or whoever he's not happy with at the moment. He creates a situation, and when he doesn't like it, he spins it to where the situation is someone else's fault. And he doesn't seem to be bothered with the fact that our life is this way and our physical intimacy shouldn't suffer, and I shouldn't I should desire him, even though it's the way it is. And I kind of can relate to what the man said his wife feels about doing things out of obligation. And, you know, I don't want this marriage. I'm not saying I don't want my marriage. I'm saying I don't want this marriage. Does that make sense?
Yeah, right. And so the only way to not have that marriage is for divorce. We don't want that. You
right.
change. You find a different way to react to him. Him find a different way to be that would be appealing to you. Third option,
well,
or maybe it's fourth, and then the fourth option is both of you decide you're going to both be in a different kind of marriage. Now, Mylon's mm-hmm. going to tell you how that can happen. No, I mean, it's almost like it sounds like it's impossible, but we do see it happen frequently. No one would want your marriage. No one in your marriage, the way you're living your marriage out, would want to be in that marriage. But I don't think you have to stay that way.
Roommates. We're roommates
yeah.
with benefits, unfortunately.
Stephanie,
anyway, sorry.
Stephanie, I appreciate your explanation or better word description of your marriage. Roommate mm-hmm. with benefits. And is this a first marriage for both of you?
No, it's second marriage for both of us.
Okay.
And he throws divorce at me all the time. Anytime, or he doesn't do it as much as he used to, but anytime something's not the way he wants it, then we'll separate or we'll get divorced. And he did that a couple months ago, and I told him, well, we're in Texas. There's no legal separation. You're either married to me or you're not.
Okay, Stephanie, we're going to take a commercial break, and then we're going to come back and talk with you in just a few moments. Steve?
Yeah. 1-800-NEW-LIFE is the place to call for help. We would love to help you. And if you need help just listening to the program, it's tough. Where there's a New Life app, you can listen at www.newlife.com, all sorts of places.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of the Life Recovery Bible Personal Size, the 1-Year Life Recovery Prayer Devotional, the New Life Journal, a New Life Pen and Highlighter, and a New Life Zipper Tote to hold it all. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad that you're with us here today. And here we are. And it's a situation that seems impossible. Both people, well, she really gets inflamed. And he's really being inconsiderate. Mylon, where do you go from here?
Stephanie, here's what I love. And this may surprise you, but here's the good news. You are protesting something that needs a protest.
Mm-hmm.
You are saying, this isn't good. And that is what we all need to do prior to us taking seriously the goal of change. If I were you, Stephanie, mm-hmm. I would have your husband and the two of you go to our marriage intensive in February in Orange County. And it's warmer than Waco will be, so you can be warm for a little while. But it would be a real chance to reset the whole relationship. I also want to remind you, Stephanie, based upon my question prior to the commercial, the two of mm-hmm. you have been previously married. That history yes. also comes to play in this relationship. When we marry mm-hmm. and we've been divorced and we marry a divorced person, we're marrying all their history from before they were right. ever married, their first relationship, second relationship, their whole history, we're marrying that. And I appreciate you saying, you know, we – and I don't know how long you dated or how long it was before you got married.
Not
but
long enough.
I would guess that it wasn't long enough. And listen, but this is how you could fix it. I would look him right in the eye and say, I care for you. Mm-hmm. I care for you, and there's parts of me that likes parts of you and loves you at some level. I want to make it better, and we both have experienced a failed previous marriage. Let's make this one mm-hmm. work. And I would want to show enthusiasm, but a protest can also include enthusiasm. What we have now mm-hmm. isn't working. I agree with you right. when you use the word divorce, but I don't want to divorce you. We've been together right. 9 years. Let's do something. And I would get into mm-hmm. a good – and there's some good couples counselors in the Dallas area there where you are in Waco or even up in Dallas mm-hmm. proper. I would get into a good couples counselor that looks at history, not just how to mm-hmm. fix the little immediate problems that a couple might be finding they have with friction in their marriage, but that I would do that, and then I would get to the marriage intensive in February and just say, let's do this. I want to make this work.
That could right. could so, literally change
it could change
so much.
Everything. It really could.
And I'm going to send you Mylon Kay's book, How We Love. And it is the foundation of multiple transformed marriages. Well, God's Word is the foundation, and this is the enhancer of God's Word and the reality of today. So good. And I'll also send you the 1-year Bible for women. Hope that you will love that. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you need some help. And sometimes women are really bugged because he's unfaithful, and then she's told she needs to go to a conference called Restore so that she can get through this. So not only is she told, well, here's this betrayal, and that's painful, then she's given an assignment that leads to forgiveness and restoration. Well, listen to this. My daughter returned from the Restore workshop in Washington, D.C., a changed woman. She said, I went on the cross-country red-eye flight exhausted from seeing 6 clients that Thursday. I was so tired, but as soon as I entered the room for the beginning session, I became hopeful. I was not alone. She would call me during the weekend sharing what she was learning, crying over the emotional pain and death of her 9-year marriage. But the woman I picked up from the airport Sunday night in San Francisco was changed, empowered from the one I dropped off Thursday night. She loves the keychain, I Am Enough. She loves the EMDR-trained therapist and says she'll incorporate what she's learned into her own licensed family and marriage therapy practice. Bold type here. I want to personally thank you and New Life for helping her with a generous scholarship. Her life is changed in trajectory. Thank you, Lord, for Restore. Now, imagine a guy like me, 34 years after starting New Life, still getting to hear miraculous transformations that God does and uses us to do it. I know it's not fair. I've been where you've been, not just once. I've been betrayed. I know what that feels like. And I know the pain of grieving, accepting, and then embracing and moving into forgiveness. I know that. I wish there had been a Restore for me. But there is for you. And if you call us, you can get in. And that phone number to do that's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. And our next Restore, well, it's the weekend after Intimacy and Marriage. It's February 24, 25, and 26. I didn't make that letter up. That's a real letter from a mother who loves her daughter and saw the change. And that could be you or that could be your daughter. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Let's go to Janice, Nashville, Tennessee. Janice, welcome to New Life Life. How could we help you?
Yes, thank you guys for taking my call.
You are so welcome. How's it going and how can we help?
I have a situation. I have a son. He suffers from mental illness, bipolar, schizophrenia. Also, he's has an addiction. He was diagnosed at about 18 years old with schizophrenia. Now, he's like, ever since then, he's been in and out of jail. Juveniles to jail and back and forth. Now he's in prison. He's been out and, you know, been back and forth to all the psych hospitals, back and forth. My question is, me being a mother, and I'm a single parent, he's now 40. I've been dealing with this since he was 18 years old. He's 40. And now he's back in prison as we speak. And my thing is, as a parent, I'm tired. I'm tired of the back and forth, you know, the hospitals, the jails, back and forth, getting it together, falling off, but I've been sticking by him. Well, the last time we was in the psych hospital, one of the clinicians there, she told me, she said he wasn't willing to change, he wasn't willing to do the right thing, you know, for getting the help he needed. And she told me just to let him, you know, to just let him basically hit rock bottom, and he would have to come to his senses on his own, because if I, you know, kept taking him back in and enabling him, he could destroy me.
How did that make you feel? How did that make you feel when she said that?
Oh, I felt terrible. I felt terrible, but also I felt she was telling the truth, because I've done it so long and I've had those thoughts. Yeah. Right. And I've heard other people, you know, through Al-Anon saying that you just got to let them go. They have to, you know, find out on their own and they have to hit rock bottom. So it was hard for me, but I did it. And like I say, went through that. And now he's, like I say, he's back in prison. And it's the same thing. It's a cycle. And I feel like I'm on a roller coaster, and I'm trying to stay off of it because it was destroying me. It was making me feel terrible. And now the holidays are approaching. Mm. Now I've got another feeling going on. This feeling of giving in, enabling him, you know, but he's not here physically with me, so I can't.
Yeah.
But it's just these feelings I'm struggling with, you know, as a parent.
Well, you know,
I've
often thought about writing a book entitled The Gift of Prison. Because to me, that's such a better place for him than on the street or in your home. And during this holiday season, you can rest and relax knowing that he's safe. You have done the research of stepping in and trying to take care of him, and it hasn't worked in 40 years of his life. And so I do think it's time that you get a sponsor that you can call whenever you feel tempted to reverse course. Because here's the horrible reality, and my buddy Dave Stoop came to this reality. What you've done for him hasn't really been for him. It's been to make you feel better. Isn't that sad?
I agree.
And so when you surrender that, you are inviting him to become a man on his own. He may not.
Okay.
But currently, at age 40, you've already proven it's not going to happen the way it's been going before. You need to persevere.
Exactly.
The Lord says those who persevere receive the crown of life. I want you to get that crown. We'll take a break. We'll come back. Alice has got a comment. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
Welcome back. We're back to New Life Live, and we've been speaking with Janice.
Yes, we have. Sorry, sometimes we just get caught up in loving each other and talking that we forget there's a radio program. Thank you, Alice. Okay, so you had a comment you wanted to give Janice, who is so open and wanting to do the right thing.
Janice, I just hear the weariness in your mama's heart as you've been trying to pull your son up out of such immense suffering. And so I want to give a couple of recommendations as you consider putting into practice what Steve advised. We all have limited resources, Janice. That's money, time, energy, emotional care that we can give to the people around us. And you've been running on fumes because your son is a taker rather than a giver. And so he doesn't put back into you. He's just taken from you for all these years, the majority of the time. And you know that God wants us to be cheerful givers. And he knows that when we give out of guilt and obligation, and when we give out of fear, when those are our motivations, that kind of giving becomes sick eventually. It's not sustainable in a genuine, loving way.
Right.
And so you might warn your son, I need to take a break for a while. Some of your recent choices have been really hurtful to me. And so I'll need to step away. I may not even be communicating for a while so that I can rest. I'll come back when I can, but I don't know yet when that will be. And then, Janice, if it's on your heart to write a Christmas card, if it's on your heart to say something over the holidays, maybe you'd write it down, keep it for a day or two, pass it by your sponsor, and then decide if you can genuinely, cheerfully share that with your son. But it may take a while for you to recover.
And we are so sorry you've had to go through this, but I tell you, there is hope here. Given all that you've been going through, I'm going to send you Healing is a Choice and Take Your Life Back, and also the one-year Bible for Women, and I hope those are going to be a blessing to you. Be sure you don't spend this Thanksgiving wondering or grieving, but you get with some friends and you enjoy this time, because you have a lot to be thankful for. I'm really glad that you called. Let's go to Nancy, Orlando, Florida. Hi, Nancy. How are you today? And welcome to New Life Live. How can we help?
Oh, hi there. You guys are amazing. You guys are stunning and shocking.
Stunning and shocking. I like that, Nancy.
I mean, really, you guys help people. So give honor where honor is due, and you guys deserve it. But my question is, what's the right etiquette when I see my family, my son, his wife, and my granddaughter? Can I hug my son first?
Say that again. Can you hug your son first?
Yeah, before I hug my daughter-in-law and my granddaughter.
I got to tell you, I got an answer for this. It depends. Okay. If your husband is walking up the sidewalk,
I don't have a husband.
I mean, if your son's walking up the sidewalk first, we'll hug him first. But if he's third and you have to push your grandchild and your daughter-in-law out of the way to hug him first, I think that would, if I was the grandchild or I was the daughter-in-law, I would think you don't really care about me.
Oh, well, I agree with that one. But they usually all walk up together.
Well, why wouldn't you just hug whomever it seems that? Like, if the little grandchild grabs your leg, you'd go with that. I don't understand why this is a problem.
Absolutely. If she grabbed me, my leg or whatever, I would hug her. But I mean, if they're all together,
Nancy, why is this a question for you? Tell me what's behind this question, that you want to know the etiquette.
Yeah, I want to know the etiquette because I don't want to hurt anybody, but I would like to hug my son first.
Okay, and why do you want to hug your son first?
Well, because I have more love for him than anybody else.
Uh-huh. And you're saying that you have more love for your son than his wife does?
Oh, absolutely not.
Well, those two phrases,
I have more love for him than I do for my daughter-in-law.
That's different than the way you said that. What were you going to say, Alice?
Nancy, are you and your son your only immediate nuclear family? And has it just been the two of you for a very long time until his wife and their child came along?
I don't know.
Did you lose the father of your son quite some time ago, and has it just been the two of you? Are you quite close, you and your son?
No, I didn't lose anybody. I think because our relationship when he was younger was hurtful because I was young and I wasn't very sensitive, and I was kind of selfish. I was young, going out still, and I realized later that I should have been more sensitive and loving, and just more loving, and I wasn't, so that hurt him and it hurt me. So I said to myself, I'm going to make a vow to make up for it for the rest of my life and do everything I can to show how much I love him.
And so hugging him first is a sign. It's an action of how much you love him, and that's why it's so important. It's to make up for damage done in the past. Is that right?
Exactly.
I see.
Right in the mail.
So, Nancy, something happens when we get married and have a child, and as adults, many of us, we feel the most loved when people love on our family for us. So that, for instance, when someone loves on my children and expresses affection for my children, I actually feel loved by that, even though I'm not receiving the attention directly. It almost becomes more meaningful to me for my children to be loved by my extended family rather than for me to receive it directly. So I want you to reconsider how hugging anybody that shows up first and pouring love on your grandchild and your daughter-in-law, that's a new way of loving your son, and it's not selfish to do so.
Okay.
I'd add to it, if you haven't yet done this, Nancy, putting into words your regret of how you weren't present enough for him when he was young, and making some apologies and talking about making amends and figuring out what that looks like for your son, those kind of conversations will probably bring a soothing to your soul and to his as well.
You know, and
well,
Nancy,
we have talked about...
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Nancy.
Go ahead. You, please.
Okay, so
go ahead first, please.
there's this idea that we can overcompensate. So what you're saying, I want to compensate for my lack of attention that I gave him when he was young. And so you can be very earnest in wanting to do that, but then we can overcompensate. Newton talked about this. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So you want to... You can say, I really, really love my son, but I think it's important to really ask yourself, am I overcompensating to the point that I'm having to think, who do I want to hug first? And I think it's an overcompensation you're making. Steve's right. Just hug whoever comes, you know, to the door first. Yeah. And I wouldn't make a... That there's something inside of you that is, as Alice has already said, the guilt from the past is really causing you to take a behavior that I'm concerned about. You're overcompensating here. So,
all right. I'm glad you called. I'll send you this one-year Bible for women. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear. I'm with you. God is with you. And we're glad you've been with us." Thank you, Mylon and Alice. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.